Welcome to the Lifestyle Accountant Show. I'm Meryl Johnston, your host, and this podcast exists to help today's accounting firm owners build successful firms while also living a healthy, happy life without sacrificing sleep, your weekends, or time with loved ones. On today's episode, I'll be talking about ChatGPT and AI in accounting. This is a little different from the theme that we've had around remote work in season one, but AI is such a hot topic right now. I've spent a lot of time learning about it and playing around with the different tools and having conversations with other accountants. And so I wanted to do a bonus episode away from our core theme of remote work and have a chat about where things are at with AI in accounting right now, knowing that this will change pretty quickly over time. So in today's episode, we'll talk a little bit about what AI and ChatGPT, what are they and how do you use them? We'll look at some practical examples of using these tools in your accounting firm, talk about some of the opportunities, but also the risks and what are some of the guardrails you can put in place if you're trying to encourage your team to get more productive by using these tools. And I'll also share some stories from outside of the industry with some lessons that we might be able to apply.
All that and more coming up on the Lifestyle Accountant Show. This podcast is brought to you by TeamUp, helping you to recruit rockstar Filipino accounting staff without the ongoing BPO fees, and Anitra, Australia's leading e-signature provider. I'll be sharing more about my experiences with these products later in the show.
Like many of you who are listening, I've been trying to get my head around AI and tools like ChatGPT over the last few months. I want to make sure that I learn these tools to make the most of them, but I also want to make sure that I don't get burnt and don't do anything silly or share any confidential information. I've got three different topics that we'll be covering today. The first is about what does AI mean for the future of work and specifically for accountants? Does it mean that as we automate more of our roles, that we can move away from timesheets to compensation for team members based on outcomes? The second theme is looking at how can we use ChatGPT to build client relationships? There's a whole lot of different use cases, from Excel formulas, using it to help with coding, but something I'm specifically interested in, and I think other accounting firm owners will be interested in, is how can we leverage the tool to build stronger relationships with our clients? And then the last topic for today is about managing the risks of your team using ChatGPT and going through some examples of where things have gone wrong for some other people and in other industries. Okay, let's jump into the first topic. What does AI mean for the future of work for accountants? And more specifically, will AI enable us to move away from timesheets and to compensation based on output? So I'm going to share two different perspectives here. These were based on one article and one comment on LinkedIn, and then I'm also going to share my own opinion. So there was a news article with the title, CEO is so worried about remote workers using AI and doing multiple jobs, he's threatening to increase quotas by 30 to 50 times our normal production time. And maybe this is a valid concern. I've heard of this before with remote workers, and in the case I heard, it was specifically developers who would apply for multiple roles. For a full-time role at one business, it would be remote. They would be pretty quick at their job. And then sometimes they'd be able to take two or three more full-time roles on. And there were some Twitter threads about people sharing how they were doing this and how much money they were doing and how long it would take until they get fired. This CEO is worried about something slightly different. He's worried about the workers leveraging AI to help them do their job faster and then having multiple jobs. So this is a reply. It's actually an article by Chase Warrington from Doist sharing his comments about the article. That starts by saying, I'm confused. Let's say I hired Bob and Sarah to cut down trees at a quota of one tree per day. On Monday, Bob brings a hacksaw and cuts down one tree in 8 hours. Sarah brings a chainsaw and cuts down 10 trees that morning, then goes to cut down 10 more trees in the afternoon for another client. Clearly, Bob is the better employee, right? He worked harder and more importantly, he's loyal to me. Meanwhile, Sneaky Sarah, as she's come to be known around the office, just saw her quota go to 20 trees for no extra pay. Notice the word threatens in the headline. CEO threatens to increase quotas by 30 to 50 times. Makes perfect sense. This is the rat race we've buried ourselves in since the Industrial Revolution. Every extra bit of productivity squeezed out of employees moves the bar that much higher. More efficiency is just rewarded with more work. Accountants, anyone familiar with that? That your best staff are sometimes just allocated more work because they're good at what they do. And these type of leaders equate butts in seats with real work. They value inputs, not output, and allegiance to the company, which is only demonstrated via sweat equity. I'm seeing some similarities here with accounting firm owners who want to have their team members in the office, butts in seats, compared to having their team work remotely. Back to Chase's article. So they want a bunch of bobs. Personally, I'll take the innovators who work smarter and live a more fulfilling life outside the office. Give me an entire team of Sarahs. So my initial thought was, yeah, that's right, Chase. I want innovators too. I want a team of Sarahs. Of course, that makes sense. I want to take the Sarahs because they have a higher output. Bob was taking a whole day to cut down one tree and Sarah could get 10 done, even if it only took her a morning. So then I thought about, what does that mean? If I put that in the context of my accounting firm, at Beeninges, we try and give our team as much flexibility over their workday as possible. Once someone's passed their trial period with us, then there's no set work hours as long as their deliverables are met. But we do still keep timesheets, and that is partly to keep an eye on job profitability for different clients, but we still do also pay team members based on their work hours. So if someone is doing 3 days a week, then their pay reflects that compared to someone doing 5 days a week. So then I was trying to turn this into a little thought experiment. What would it look like for accountants to be paid on output and not hours? Well, how could you do it? Maybe you have a senior team member, and they're paid on a percentage of client revenue for the job. So say it's $10,000 a month for bookkeeping, some financial controller work and some CFO stuff for a particular client. And you say to the senior team member, if you can do this end to end and you don't need any team members, then you can have 50% of the revenue, so $5,000 a month. And you can also pay other team members if you want. So it kind of seems like, oh, well, maybe incentives aligned. Their incentives are aligned with mine as the accounting firm owner. They would only want to take on profitable jobs. They'd push back harder if I gave them a dud client or if the scope wasn't right and we weren't charging enough. If they did have team members, they'd have an incentive to manage their team members appropriately and make sure that their team members were incentivized to work hard and were also appropriately compensated. But what would be the impact on the team culture? It wouldn't really be the Beeninges team culture anymore. It would be the team culture of those managers. They're kind of almost running their own little businesses. I was trying to think about the practicalities of, well, I like that idea in theory of paying for outcomes instead of hours, but it seems very hard to break away from that. And if you do that, are you actually just creating other little businesses and could you lose the team culture? So if we go back to Chase's example, where he's talking about he would prefer to have lots of sneaky Sarahs who are more efficient. They have higher output, even if it takes them less time to get the work done, and they also have other clients. So then this was an interesting reply from a guy called Bill Kerr, who's the founder and CEO of Athena. And he says, "G'day Chase, Bill here. I follow your stuff and I agree with most of it. We are a fully async global team with 91% engagement scores. So 100% on the same team. However, I think the point you are making is getting ahead of things. Things being the reality that we still sit in today. I don't think humans are productivity machines, but we still work under, for the most part, the idea of the 40-hour work week. If tools enable people to work faster, that doesn't mean that the agreement people came in under, again, in most cases, full-time work, suddenly becomes null and void. What about the colleagues in different areas who haven't been superpowered by off-the-shelf technology? They won't feel great about their colleagues being paid the same, but all of a sudden working half the time. I think in principle, your premise sounds nice, but dive deeper and I would see this falling apart quickly and destroying culture at an organization. In my opinion, the 4-day work week is the future and will take off, which should be incredible. But the idea that we are no longer at all tethered to the idea of time doesn't make sense to me. Keen to hear your thoughts. Sincerely, team remote culture guy." So I think Bill's comments make sense too, particularly around that disparity between roles that do have the ability to leverage AI and those that don't. And I was trying to think about some examples of this and how that might play out. So if you were in a role like sales, which require a lot of phone calls and in-person meetings, it's probably harder to have AI automate your role. You can't really send along a robot, you can't yet send them along in your place to attend in-person meetings. And they probably can't speak on your behalf yet on something like a Zoom call. So you might be able to leverage it for drafting emails, recording meeting minutes, doing follow-ups by email, but not a lot of the voice and in-person things. But if you compare that with something else, like a writer or even a finance person, there's a lot of things we can automate with AI. If the salesperson and the finance person were paid the same, but it only took 2 days a week to complete the work of that, the finance person's role in five, to complete the role of the sales, then I think there'd be some disgruntled employees in the sales team. But over time, I think we would see, if we think about supply and demand, we'd probably see more people move into that finance role, and they might also be willing to take a lower salary. Maybe they'd be okay being paid for 3 days a week if it only actually takes them 2 days of work. And so eventually, I wonder if things would even out with more people moving into those roles, and also, and because of the supply of extra workers, maybe we would see the salaries, there would be pressure, downward pressure on salaries. Who knows? That could be a very overly simplistic view from my economics 101 days at uni, but that was something interesting to think about. And related to this concept of AI and the future of work, it's also interesting to think about what roles will this change and will it remove roles? And I'm not immediately worried about our role as accountants, but I do think AI has massive power and it's going to significantly change how we work. I've got a friend who owns a marketing agency, and I know that he's recently laid off some writers, but he's kept on his editors. And that's because ChatGPT can do so much of the work that the writers were doing. He can't do it to 100%, which is why he's kept the editors. And I imagine they're writing the prompts as well. That is an example of the impact on the workforce right now, not in a few years' time. So I think as accountants, what's important is that we embrace the technology and we learn it and stay ahead of it, help us do our jobs faster and better. And maybe down the track, some areas of accounting will change and those roles won't be needed. But if we've adapted, then I'm sure there's going to be new roles as well. So let's move into section two of the podcast. And here I wanted to talk about how to use ChatGPT to build better client relationships. There's lots of use cases for ChatGPT. I think marketing and communications are some of the early examples, but there's a bunch of other examples from having it write Excel formulas, helping to categorize uncoded transactions if you're doing bookkeeping, and examples from a range of other industries. But I think as accountants and accounting firm owners, building better relationships with clients is something that is very valuable and is worth investing in. So I'm going to dive into some examples.
This podcast is brought to you by TeamUp, helping you to recruit rockstar Filipino accounting staff without the ongoing BPO fees. We've had Filipino accountants on the Bean Ninjas team for about 4 or 5 years, but my experience with BPOs has been average at best. When COVID hit and our BPO team moved to remote work, we started to question the value of paying an ongoing monthly fee for every team member, particularly as we had a couple of years of experience now working with an offshore team and no longer needed all of the support that a BPO can provide. TeamUp provides fixed price recruitment with no ongoing fees. It costs around $3,000 for them to run the end-to-end hiring process. That starts with creating an attractive job ad, promoting it on multiple platforms, attracting hundreds of candidates, which they vet and interview and test, and ultimately they present the top three candidates for you to interview. We've just hired our first accountant in the Philippines with TeamUp. The process took about 5 weeks from beginning to end and saved our manager in the Philippines hours and hours of time. It's a busy time of year for us, and constantly hiring was taking her away from other valuable work like reviewing client files and also managing our team in the Philippines. TeamUp also offers an employer of record service through their partners, and that takes care of the compliance side of things. So next time you're looking to hire a rockstar accountant in the Philippines, check out hireteamup.com. That's H-I-R-E, teamup, T-E-A-M-U-P.com.
I'm going to split this into describing a problem and then explaining how you could use ChatGPT to solve that. So the first problem is that many of us have offshore team members and they're not bad at writing, but sometimes or often English isn't their first language. And if they draft an email, it needs a fair bit of rework before it can be sent to a client. The solution would be, or a solution would be, to train your team members on how to prompt ChatGPT to draft emails to clients. And potentially we'll still need a review from a manager or someone where the English is their first language before it goes out to a client. But I could see that really helping build the team's confidence in writing emails and having them involved in creating and drafting a lot of those initial first drafts. Problem two is that some accountants are great at the numbers, not so good at writing in an engaging way, and potentially come across as too formal. I remember that I had that problem when I started to write blog posts, starting out with Beaninjas. I had all of the writing style that I'd learned when I was at BDO and the to whom it may concern and regarding this. And it took me a bit of time to change my writing style to make it more engaging and to tell more stories. Something that you can do with ChatGPT is to copy and paste an email, of course, removing any confidential data from that, paste it into ChatGPT and then ask it to change the tone for you. When writing prompts, I normally start by writing the prompt and setting the tone. Who is ChatGPT? Are they a writer? And giving it a little bit of context. And then after that, then putting in the email. Some of the accounting project management tools like Canopy, Carbon, and I believe Pixie are all building in this email drafting tool within their practice management systems, which is great. You don't actually need to leave and go across to ChatGPT to use those and to draft emails to clients. Okay, problem three. This is a problem at Beninjas. We have templated monthly emails to chase up outstanding information to clients. We've got templated emails for things like sending reports. And we use these same templated emails each month, lacking a bit of personality and probably it's not in line with our brand, which is about having some fun and some personality. Something we haven't done yet, but is on the to-do list, is to use ChatGPT to write fun variations of these emails to keep them interesting and engaging so the clients actually enjoy receiving them. And I'm thinking that we would do at least 12 variations of these, so a different one each month. Maybe we need to do 24 so that they don't get the same email every January, but that's something that is on our to-do list.
Now let's hear from one of our sponsors, Anitra, Australia's leading e-signature provider. I've used a range of different e-signature solutions over the years. At one point, we had three or four different DocuSign accounts floating around at Beninjas, which had been set up by different team members. Sometimes we had a bunch of documents that needed signing, and at other times we didn't. And as an accountant, it annoys me to pay for something that we weren't always using. When I heard that Anitra had simple pay-as-you-go pricing and they understood the accounting industry, I had to check it out. It was super easy to set up an account and send out my first agreement for signing. Bonus, it meets the identity verification standards of the ATO and Tax Practitioners Board. So next time you are looking into an e-signature solution, give Anitra a go.
Problem number four, this is something that I've heard advisors who do a lot of strategic meetings or CFO work complain about. But I've heard many a time, I'm in meetings all day with clients, and after all that talking and so many meetings, it's really hard to remember what the action items were from each conversation. Now, this might be a little bit harder if you're in person, but if you're in Zoom or the equivalent, then you could record the meeting and then feed the transcript into ChatGPT and then ask it to pull out the action items. And then instead of having to take detailed notes during the meeting or handwriting them and then never getting those handwritten notes back online, you could spend 15 minutes at the end of the day getting this into a task management system or just sending them across to the relevant people. I've also been using fireflies.ai. And that, instead of having to download a transcript, so with ChatGPT, you can't just upload the audio file. You need to turn it into a transcript and then copy and paste it in. That's a bit of a pain. So I actually use a different tool called fireflies.ai. And so you invite Fred from Fireflies into the Zoom meeting, and then you don't have to do the download, upload thing. and he'll just give you a summary. Problem five is similar in that, well, the solution is similar, it's a different problem. So again, with clients, a lot of it is about relationship building and remembering different things about your clients that help to build that personal relationship. But I've definitely spoken to some accountants before who say, oh, I find it really easy to remember numbers and facts, but for some reason, I cannot remember the client's kids' names, what sports teams they follow, or where their holiday house is. And so similar solution, if you feed the meeting transcript into ChatGPT, then you could ask it to summarize that key information. One way to do that, if you think of a personal CRM, some of you may keep this information if you're really organized in your accounting firm CRM. You don't do that at Beanages, but you'd have different columns like kids' names, birthdays, sports teams, spouse's name, and then you could have ChatGPT summarize it in that information into those different columns and then get that across to your CRM. Side note, I'm interested in what the audience of this and the listeners of this podcast are doing for a personal CRM solution. I hear so much about the value of a personal network. And for me, it's more about investing in relationships and trying to deepen relationships that I already have. And I do this on an ad hoc basis of getting back in touch with people. But I know of others that are using Notion or spreadsheets to manage a personal CRM. And I think there's some tools out there as well that are built specifically for this. So interested to hear how you manage your personal network and proactively stay in touch with people over time. Okay, problem six is that sometimes we'll delay writing hard emails. And I think there's various hard emails that we need to write as accountants. One of them is letting clients know about a fee increase. And I think that's often because we're worried that the client's going to get upset. Again, you could use ChatGPT to draft an email like that and help you communicate in a way that's empathetic and also have it communicate your value. So they are six different examples of how you could use ChatGPT to build better relationships with your clients. In this last segment of the episode, we're going to be talking about some of the risks of using ChatGPT and what to be aware of as accountants and accounting firm owners. I've been reading some news articles about the risks related to using ChatGPT, and it sounds like JP Morgan, Chase, Amazon, Verizon, and Accenture have all banned staff from using ChatGPT at work. And the reason given is that the companies are concerned that sensitive information is being put into ChatGPT. Another piece of interesting information is that in a recent study conducted by a data security firm, Cyberhaven, they found that only 3.1% of workers are leaking sensitive company information into ChatGPT. So 3.1%, that doesn't sound too bad. Actually, for accounting firms, I think that would be terrible if you had 100 staff and three of them had been leaking information, confidential information. But let me give some more context to this. Because, however, this is also only with about 8% of the workforce using ChatGPT at work. So when I hear that, I mean, maybe I'm misinterpreting this data, but it sounds like there's 8% of the workforce using ChatGPT and then 3% of the workforce, so which is almost half, are leaking sensitive information by copying and pasting confidential data into ChatGPT. So that does not sound promising. I'll share a story about Samsung. They've had a bit of a rough time with some of their employees inappropriately using ChatGPT. So I'm going to read an extract from a news article. It says, multiple employees of Samsung's Korea-based semiconductor business plugged lines of confidential code into ChatGPT, effectively leaking corporate secrets that could be included in the chatbot's future responses to other people around the world. One employee copied buggy source code from a semiconductor database into the chatbot and asked it to identify a fix. Another employee did the same for a different piece of equipment, requesting code optimization from ChatGPT. After a third employee asked the AI model to summarize meeting notes, Samsung executives stepped in, and the company limited each employee's prompt in ChatGPT they limited it to a certain size. Just 3 weeks earlier, Samsung had lifted its ban on employees using ChatGPT over concerns around this issue. After the recent incidents, it's considering reinstating the ban as well as disciplinary action for the employees. If a similar accident occurs, even after emergency information protection measures are taken, access to ChatGPT may be blocked on the company network. And the issue is that as soon as content is entered into ChatGPT, the data is transmitted and stored to an external server, which makes it impossible for the company to retrieve it. And representative of OpenAI, which is the company that owns ChatGPT, they've warned that they're not able to delete specific prompts from your history. So don't share sensitive information in the conversations. It can use all questions and text submitted as training data. Now, I have heard from somewhere different that ChatGPT is no longer training the algorithm and what you share there isn't being used, but I'm not sure. I don't know for sure. So in terms of advice of how to avoid this, sounds as a general rule, if you wouldn't share the content you're typing into ChatGPT with someone who works for your company's direct competitor, then do not share it with ChatGPT. And even if you think the data is generic or non-damaging, then still consider it and run it by your manager. And the main issue is that as well as training the model, it may be possible to talk the AI into giving up that information to another party. And so they're sharing an example here of how previous models have been talked into discussing their limitations, safeguards, and internal code names. So thinking across all these different examples, from the future of AI and what it means for the workforce, to using ChatGPT to build better relationships and considering the risks of using ChatGPT and AI, here are some of my takeaways and action items. So firstly, do not share confidential information. So if we're looking at the example of using ChatGPT to help with coding transactions, instead of including all of the data that comes across in the bank feed, you could remove the date and the amount of the transaction, but could still paste in the supplier name and then have ChatGPT help you with coding of which account code could it go to. If you were asking Fred from Fireflies.ai to join a meeting, then you could get client authorization first to ensure that they're comfortable with the security of that platform and data being shared there. I think it's important to train and talk with team members about how to use ChatGPT safely and give them a policy with some guidelines on when to use it and how to use it and how not to use it. And this is something I'm thinking about. I want my team to actively leverage tools like ChatGPT and AI, but I want to make sure we've got the guardrails up so we don't have any mishaps. Things like drafting emails, I think it's important to remove client names and anything else sensitive. And then even with internal meetings, it's worth being aware of, is there anything sensitive in there? And if not, move forward. But if there could be, then better to err on the side of caution and not paste it into ChatGPT. So I think it's early days for me. It's only been a couple of months that I've been exploring these tools. If you've already found some great AI use cases or ChatGPT use cases for your accounting firm, I'd love to hear about it. Reach out to me on LinkedIn or get in touch with us here at the podcast by sending us an email, which you can find on the Lifestyle Accountant show website, lifestyleaccountant.co. See you next week for another episode of the Lifestyle Accountant Show.